Whether you're in search of a great new bottle of wine or you want a rundown of the best brunch spots in the area, Mike and Stu have the answer. With a combined half century in the industry, they bring their wealth of experience to bring you the latest trends, expert opinions, and interviews with people in the know. They are the dynamic duo of dining.
Oh, it's a wine and food show, Stu.
It's a food and wine show, trust me.
Look right here, it's Sip and Chew. It's wine and food.
Because Chew rhymes with Stew, that's the only reason.
Oh, you glorified fry cook.
Yeah, grape killer.
Now it's time to Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, good morning to an episode of Sip and Chew with Mikeless Stu. Mike.
So this should be just Sip and Sip. Chew and Chew.
Yeah, we're just going to chew and chew today. Mike gets himself into some of the most ridiculous situations.
I saw his text.
He was sitting on the deck at Heroes outside, and a single bee leave him alone. So unlike a normal person who would just get up and walk inside, he does the one thing they tell you to never do. He starts swatting at the bee.
Right.
So the bee stung him. Mike is not allergic to bees.
Yeah.
But if it stung you on the trachea, you would be allergic to it, though.
That's right, because it kind of closes your throat up.
Yeah,
or tries
he got stung
to.
On the neck because he started a fight that he couldn't finish.
Well, except for yellow jackets.
Yeah.
If you run over that hole in the ground with your lawnmower, they will hit you.
Yeah.
Except for that, when I got a wasp or something buzzing around, I just try to ignore them.
Yeah.
Just going about your business because they're really
And if it won't leave you alone.
Unless you've messed with their nest. Yeah.
And if it won't leave you alone, walk inside.
Sure.
Yeah,
and it'll
just
go,
leave.
And it'll lose interest in you real quick.
But Mike's a city boy down there in Detente Square, and, you know, they don't know much about wildlife and dealing with varmints in the forest.
How dare wildlife go to Detente Square anyhow? Where does that bee get off? I assume the bee is
somewhere
no longer
between,
with us.
Somewhere between Mike's first and second chin. That's where it got off.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Look, hey, Mike survived. The bee did not.
That's what I was getting at. And I'm going to tell you something else, Stu. People that listen to this show do not know what you have to go through in the moments before the show.
No kidding,
to
right?
get it on. Like, how come these headphones don't work? Oh, I spilled my drink. And on it goes.
Yeah.
But you're here, and I'm glad.
Yeah. And we are live on our Facebook Live if you want to go to that for some odd reason and see what I look like when I'm talking by myself. And be sure to stop by our YouTube page and subscribe. The lives usually go up there at the end of the afternoon.
Yep.
And we do stuff that's only on our YouTube channel. So just, you know,
ooh,
just
some
go.
Some of the good stuff you're holding back.
I'd have to look at the page and remember it.
Okay. All right.
But, yeah, just go to YouTube and just type in Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu, and you'll find our page and subscribe, and we're going to start doing a lot more stuff with our YouTube page and integrate it with Facebook.
Can I report a little progress I made this past week?
Sure.
My son and I went to lunch, and first of all, he said, "Let's get Thai food." Well, I'm sorry, I'm not into really hot food.
Yeah.
And so we wound up going. You're going to be proud of me. A non-Fern restaurant. I hope it's non-Fern. We went to Jerusalem Cafe over by Harbor Freight on Airport.
Yeah, Airport and University.
And I
wonderful
think I,
restaurant.
I think I had a – it was for lunch. I think I had a chicken kebab, which came in a – what
bread.
Do you call it?
Yeah. Pita bread, yeah.
And a nice Greek salad. Vegetables were perfect. And some – flavors that I wasn't real familiar with, but were all really good.
Jerusalem Cafe has been there a really long time.
That's what he said. And in the nighttime, the crowds are much bigger.
Yeah, and it has long been one of the best Mediterranean restaurants in the city. I've eaten there for many years, and I do greatly enjoy it. And I'm glad you ventured out, tried something new.
Well, and our bill for lunch was $20.
Yeah,
you know, and the price was right. Service was great.
It's always funny to me because I'll hear people down here go, "Oh, I don't know nothing about that food." Well, yes, you do. You've been reading about it your entire life. It's in that book called the Bible.
Well,
they eat in the Bible. That's
I will confess, I stayed safe.
Mm-hmm.
I did. I'm sure that salad had a little feta in it, but I didn't get any goat. You know, or
well, I don't think they sell any goat.
Well, there was something else.
It lamb.
Lamb.
Yeah.
I didn't get lamb. I'm not real familiar with lamb. I only tried it once in my life, and my wife didn't know how to cook it, and I didn't know how to eat it. So
then try it.
I know. I need to. I need to call you up and say, which way should I get it done? Because I know there's
go across. Jerusalem Cafe is a good place. Try theirs. But the best lamb I've had in the city so far is right across the street from here at Seven Spice.
Seven Spice.
Yeah, it's a grocery store and a Mediterranean restaurant. And just go in and get their lamb kebabs. And if you don't like those lamb kebabs, you don't like lamb.
Yeah.
You'll know for good because it's cooked perfectly.
Okay,
I love lamb.
I'll take you up on that.
And honestly, it's a frustrating thing to me when I hear people in America say, "Oh, I only eat, you know, beef, pig, and chicken. You know, I don't eat any of that weird stuff." None of that other stuff is weird. It's weird that you won't eat anything but those.
Well,
99.9% of the human beings who've ever lived have eaten more lamb in their lifetime than beef. So it's weird that you won't try it. Not you particularly.
Yeah,
you
I know.
But when people call it weird food.
Well, I know I get aggravated with my grandchildren when I'm trying to get them to try something new that I've been eating all my life.
Yeah.
And they won't do it. Mm-hmm. Or it'd be a major catastrophe. So I think we're kind of built into the idea that if you haven't eaten something for decades maybe, you may or may not be in an experimental mood, you know,
right.
And I think that's where I find myself.
Yeah, but you do try new things all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's all I ask is to try it. But I have no patience and zero respect for anyone that, you know, is 45 years old and didn't like onions when they were 7, so they haven't eaten onions since.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're still a 7-year-old.
When I was a kid, I ate brains and eggs up in Virginia, but I haven't eaten them since then.
Right. I've had them. They're delicious at first, and then the aftertaste could be best described as gray matter. However you think gray matter would taste, pretty much nails it.
And I've been hearing on TV scrapple a lot. Do you like that?
It's spam, basically. Yeah.
Well,
it's
kind
not
of,
even good spam.
It's the leftover scraps of pork.
Yeah. Yeah, it is huge in Philadelphia, in areas of Pennsylvania. Honestly, if you like spam, you can't really turn your nose up at scrapple. If you like potted meat, you can't really. So it's just.
I had an uncle that lived in Washington, D.C., and he loved scrapple.
Yeah.
I'm sure he had it at least 3 or 4 times a week.
Yeah. And I haven't tried it, but the first time I'm in Pennsylvania, I will.
Yeah.
Because it's the local flair. I would be silly for someone to come down here from Pennsylvania during crawfish season and order salmon.
Yeah.
You know, try the crawfish.
That's something else I'm not crazy about. It's too much work for too little meat.
You know, there's more than one way to eat crawfish, right? You can go to a restaurant, Charlie, not a Fern Bar, but a locally owned restaurant, a lot of them, and they'll just bring the tails out to you already done and fried.
Fried
crawfish
tails.
Yeah, fried crawfish tails. They make a great po' boy. I do enjoy probably.
I wasn't hungry until I came in here, Stu.
Well, that's what we do. That's what we do here at Sip and Chew, Charlie. We make people hungry.
So they'll go out and try new places.
Yeah, we got a minute left, and I want to wish a happy birthday to one of my fellow World Food Championship competitors, and she's been a guest on this show a couple of times, Brittany Furby, who is not listening, I'm sure. She's up in West Virginia. She has already won the West Virginia State Qualifier and will be in Dallas at the World Food Championships. But she fell in love with Panini Pete's coffee up at West Virginia University, and that's kind of how we all met. And then, you know, Chris Sherrill and I are like, well, we know Pete. You want to meet him? So, you know, she's just a doll. She's in her early 20s and just really kicking booty. So happy birthday, Brittany.
I wonder what's the big native food in West Virginia. You know, it'd be interesting. We have a lot of people who have moved here from other parts of the country.
It's probably biscuits and gravy.
Could be.
It is. West Virginia has the unsavory distinction of being the most obese state in America. So
you just hurt their feelings.
Yeah. Oh, they know it. They're kind of proud of it. They threw their couches out on the lawn and set them on fire to celebrate. Folks, 343-0106 if you want to be on the show this morning. And David Calametti will be on at the bottom of the hour. He's got a little special worked up for everybody.
So. And what was your favorite food as a child that maybe you don't eat anymore?
Oh, I still eat all of it.
Me too.
Except for baby food. But if it's good...
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
Hi, my name is Alon Shai from Shai Restaurant in New Orleans, and you're listening to Sip and Chew from Mike and Stu.
Alon Shai, he has a new restaurant now called Saba in New Orleans.
Saba?
Saba.
And you know what part of New Orleans it's in? I mean, is it in the quarter? Is it the Garden District?
I think it's Garden District, but I'll double check. Mike and I are going to be in New Orleans next month, and Heather's going with us as part of her duties with Team Alabama for World Food Championships. We're going to the top 10, final table event.
Wow.
Remember everything that was in November?
Mm-hmm.
All those hundreds of chefs, hundreds of teams. Whittled it down to one winner in each of 10 categories.
So well, isn't that like judging apples and oranges?
Well, I'll tell you, next
See,
month.
I would go for the dessert every time.
Yeah, well, next month, the winners in each of those 10 categories go head-to-head.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, for 100,000. Here's how it goes. 10 cooks and chefs will be competing in the World Food Championships final table this May in New Orleans. While the city is commonly referred to as the Big Easy, perhaps the Big Deal might be more apt title for these category champions as they prepare for the culinary battle of their lives. Over the course of 2 days, one of the WFC finalists will walk away with a $100,000 payday.
Not bad.
And the title of World Food Champion. It wasn't easy getting there and everything, but... their chance at the biggest prize purse in food sport is now just a matter of performing and executing three great recipes, Cajun style. So that's the assignment.
Oh, they had been in some of them are going to have to learn Cajun style.
Yeah, and they're not going to know. It could be crawfish etouffee. Mm-hmm. It could be a shrimp po' boy. Or it could be what Bob wants to talk about, best crawfish. So good morning, Bob. What crawfish you talking about?
Hey, good morning. Actually, specifically po' boys, you mentioned the crawfish po' boy, and I was just wondering, in your opinion, I know it's all about the bread, who makes the best po' boy in Mobile? And Salvetti's in Biloxi used to do a like a pressed po' boy,
mm-hmm.
which I really loved. And I'll hang up and listen to your suggestions, and I enjoy your show.
Where are you right now?
I'm in Mobile on the way to Pascagoula.
Ah, well, you are on your way to Pascagoula. I haven't eaten here yet, but I have heard that the best po' boys on the Gulf Coast are actually in Pascagoula at a place called Jack's by the Tracks. I haven't eaten there yet, but Andy McDonald, who's the cuisine writer for Lagniappe, really, really recommends this place. Everybody I know in Mississippi recommends it. But in Mobile, it's hard to beat Wenzel's, Craver's. I mean, just about any place in town that does seafood does great po' boys, I think.
Yeah, Craver's has a good one.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, I appreciate it. Have a great day.
All right, Bob.
Have a safe trip, Bob.
Yeah. All right, Charlie, I got a question. If you knew a plate of barbecue shrimp.
Wait a minute. You're going to ask me a question?
Yeah, because you are the common man.
Well, yeah.
If you knew a plate of barbecue shrimp or crawfish etouffee was made with Chinese or Indian seafood, would you still order it?
If
it said it on the menu.
If it said it on the menu that it's imported seafood?
Yeah, it's Chinese or Indian. Vietnam?
Well, it would. My inclination would be no.
Yeah,
but it would depend on some other factors like how hungry I am and how much time.
And I can understand that. The seafood from these areas has proven when it actually does get tested, it doesn't. The federal government doesn't test seafood that's imported. Everything we catch in the Gulf.
Why is that?
Money. Because a company called Monsanto that makes the chemicals they use in Asia has paid the government not to inspect things.
Okay.
That's my theory. So officially, that's an opinion, but we all know it's true. Well, restaurants in Louisiana are now looking at a proposed law that would require them to put whether their seafood is domestic or imported and what country it comes from.
You see, now we all say, keep the government out of our business.
Right.
But then...
And if the government did their job, we wouldn't need them to. But this is done on the state level.
Yeah.
And it says that restaurateurs are split on it. Well, I can tell you right now, any restaurant that doesn't agree with this, you shouldn't be eating in their restaurant because they know they're serving you toxic food.
And they're not supporting local industry.
Right, right. They're not a restaurant that I think should continue to make money.
I want to ask you something.
Because they're taking people's lives. This should be the law in every state. Every state should require you to put on your menu whether your seafood is imported or not.
You know, it's like the government saying, you don't give up plastic straws.
Right.
Well, we can all get behind that issue, but maybe it should be the business decision.
Yeah, and the reason that restaurants want to use the imported seafood is, in as ridiculous as it sounds, it's cheaper than using local, even bringing it thousands of miles. And why? Because those people that are raising it over there do not have to follow the same safety guidelines that American shrimpers do.
And plus those people that working over there don't get paid very much.
There's that. The chemicals that they use in that shrimp makes it illegal to sell in the U.S. It's not legal to sell that stuff here. It's got to pass inspection to be legal, and it's not getting inspected. It's just going straight to market. It's horrible. But, yeah, that should be the law in every state. Any restaurateur that's opposed to this, you shouldn't be eating at their restaurant because now you know they're serving you garbage.
And it goes back to how can you ship something 10,000 miles and undersell a local product?
Exactly.
You know?
And it's our local seafood is overregulated. Our imported seafood isn't regulated at all.
Before we get to
there should be a happy medium.
I know you're quite familiar with New Orleans and the different restaurants and things over there. Every time I go to New Orleans, and I hate to confess all this stuff on the show, but, you know, mostly we hang out in the Quarter. Mm-hmm. I mean, most people wind up anyhow. But there's lots of really good restaurants that are not in the Quarter.
Oh, yeah. Probably only about a third of the good restaurants are in the Quarter because there's only so much space there, and most of it is honestly taken up by dive bars.
So is there... Yeah, I'm going to tell you, those restaurants right around Michael Square cannot make good gumbo. I can tell you that.
The Garden District.
Now that's on the other side of Canal, right?
Yeah, and slowly working out towards suburbia.
Okay.
But that's where Shia is. That's where the Jack Rose is. Turkey and the Wolf. Some of the best restaurants in New Orleans are in the Garden District. Turkey and the Wolf. It's a sandwich shop. I drove there just to have a fried bologna sandwich. Because they make the bologna in-house.
Wow.
And the potato chips they put on it, they make in-house.
My mom used to make homemade potato chips. They were not real crisp, but they sure were good.
Yeah. Now, back on the seafood thing, we have a new Facebook profile frame that we have done on Sip and Chew that you can get that says, you can't sway me. Gulf seafood only. So there's a link on our page if you want to go get it. Or just go to Facebook and do the frames. Those of you that know how to frame things, go in there and just type can't sway me and it'll pull up. And sway is S-W-A-I.
I'd have never guessed that.
Yeah, sway. It's, I believe in Vietnam where this fish comes from, it's actually pronounced shway. Mm-hmm. But here on the Gulf Coast, we got our own thing. We call it shway. Plus, that helps our pun a lot.
Well, plus... Shway is probably the correct way to say it anyhow.
It is here. Not where they make it, but it is here. But, so go to Facebook if you want to put that on your profile picture. can't sway me. And that just lets people know you support local seafood, local industry. And it's just our way of trying to bring awareness to the fact. And honestly, people, every restaurant you walk into, if you're going to order seafood, ask them where it comes from. And if they can't tell you, don't get seafood, because this stuff is going to kill you. It is absolutely one of the most toxic things you can put in your body. Almost as bad as ramen noodles.
Hey, you want to? Oh, come on now. The ones in the package. Hit on one of my favorites.
The ones in the, I know. No. A lot of people love them, but they the World Health Organization has said it is far and away the least healthy thing a human being can put in their body.
And there's a lot of mamas that feed them to their babies.
Yes.
It's easy to fix.
The chemicals that are in it are just atrocious.
Let's go ahead and talk to Dick. I can hold the commercials off for a minute.
All right. Hey, Dick, we got a few minutes. What's up, buddy?
Hey, man, I had to call them and make a comment on what you were talking about, buying domestic versus foreign.
Mm-hmm.
About 16, 15 years ago, there was a guy that owns a seafood processing plant over in the Ponsecure area.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote an article on the editorial Sunday page of the Mobile Press back then. And he talked about the same thing you're saying, support the local shrimping industry, the seafood industry, and so forth.
Yep.
Which I agree with 10,000%. But here's my problem now, and here's my problem back then.
Yeah, let's hear it.
All right. The Isle of Battery builds a lot of shrimp boats for the shrimping industry, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
The problem there is those guys down there building those shrimp boats, they will buy the cheapest foreign steel that they can possibly get their hands on. They don't care about where it came from.
Yep.
And then they build these shrimp boats with it, and they are hurting the American steel worker.
Yep.
That's what bothers me.
Yeah, and that is an issue, and it's also a trickle-down of the seafood thing, because if imported seafood costs as much as U.S. seafood, people would be buying more seafood from domestic people, and they'd have the money to be able to afford something other than cheap steel. I mean, it's a snowball effect.
It really, truly is. Now, what I did,
it's a vicious cycle.
That article, I challenged him to go back and check where the stainless steel came from in the equipment that was in his processing plant. And I can't remember the guy or the company.
Yeah.
It's been too many years. But he did do it, and he came back and he apologized. And he said, you know, I checked into it, and this stainless steel came from a foreign country. So, you got to come full circle with things.
Yeah, and that's something Mike and I have been talking about on the show. How local is your local business?
That's right. That's exactly right.
Yeah. Well, now, if you're buying equipment and that's all that's available, like to equip a kitchen, you got to buy what you can get.
Yeah.
That's true, but things have changed, and I'm not going to say too much. I'm in the purchasing business, and I buy a lot of metal, and we have to buy it to a government compliance, because it's for warships.
Right.
And so it comes from either it's American-made steel or it comes from a group of companies called compliant or qualifying countries. You can do that. And you're not supporting the Chinese or some other third world country.
So, yes, how local is your business? Man, I sure appreciate you calling in, Dick. We got to go to commercial, but you bring up a great point. How local is your local business?
Thank you.
Great phone call.
Yeah, thanks, Dick.
Appreciate you being there listening, too.
All right, we got to go to commercial. When we come back, I believe we're going to speak with David Calametti from World Food Championships Team Alabama, Alabama Coasting, and the tennis court, I'm sure.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now, back to Mike and Stu.
How are you?
Pretty good. How are you?
Doing good. What can I get for you today?
I'll start with a taco, soft like a cloud. I want mine crunchy. I like to eat loud. I'll choose a chalupa. I'll grab a gordita. And two taco salads for our senoritas. And a burrito supreme. With extra sour cream, it's a cylindrically shaped seasoned beef dream,
a taquito,
and Doritos,
some cinnamon twists,
a chicken border bowl.
Are you getting all this?
All right, soul taco.
And you know that nothing beats a Mexican pizza.
How would you like to be working in that window?
That would be fantastic.
I wonder if people do come up and ever sing their orders.
We're listening to someone that came up and sang their orders.
Besides them.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we played the one from Sonic, too, remember? Yeah. That kid was great. And we brought this up because today, at 12 p.m. today, is the first ever Taco Takedown hosted by the Mobile Arts Council. It's going to be at Cathedral Square. Tickets are $15 and available online.
Wait a minute. A Taco Takedown?
Yeah. Instead of a throwdown, it's a takedown. Taco TK.
Yeah.
They're playing with the
alliteration. Well, if you can have a mullet toss, I guess you can have a taco takedown.
Yeah. Tickets include entry into the event and three taco tickets to choose for your favorite tacos to sample. A cash bar with beer and margaritas will be available to cool down.
Now, the tacos, are they from the downtown restaurants?
Expect to taste tacos from local favorites. Fuego Coastal Mexican Eatery.
I like Fuego. Mm-hmm.
Roosters, another great taco place. Nourish Cafe.
Never been there.
It's in the YMCA.
Oh, that's right.
Rock and Roll Sushi will be there. Believe it or not, one of the best fish tacos there is. Taco Mama, La Cocina, and P.S. Taco Company, which is new over in the Eastern Shore area. I want to say Foley.
Could we get a sushi person to come in here one Sunday morning and help me get over that barrier?
I will see what I can do.
Because I can't make myself do it. And I know it's got to be great because so many people eat it.
And it's healthy. It's that great too. For a diabetic.
Yeah.
Speaking of things being great for a diabetic, David Calametti is on the line. And he will tell you that tennis is great for a diabetic.
Yeah, but he's into desserts too, isn't he?
Well, that's how I play tennis so I could eat desserts.
There you go.
Good morning, David.
Good morning.
Good morning. Mike lost a fist fight with a bumblebee, so he's not here this morning. But
I saw that. I saw that on Facebook last night.
Yeah. Heather saw it and said, she goes, of course he got stung by a bee. Posted on there that he was trying to swat one. What do you think happens when you swat a bee? You get stung.
I wonder if he started writing all these excuses when he was back in school and they came up with these storylines. I'm not saying I don't believe you, Mike.
You got something big going on Wednesday night, don't you?
Well, we do. We do. And it ain't a taco takedown, but it is a taste. It's the 31st annual Taste of the Bayou down at Bottle Battery. It's at... It's the second year we've done this in conjunction with the Alabama Seafood Cook-Off. Mm-hmm. So that is, as you know, Stu, it's a statewide competition run by the Alabama Seafood Commission. Chefs from all over the state submit a recipe that best celebrates, in their mind, Alabama seafood. The top four recipes are selected. They'll be at the Bayou competing for a golden ticket to the World Food Championships and to represent the state at the Great American Seafood Cook-Off in New Orleans.
Which is a huge event.
Yeah, it's fun competition. So it's a $10 ticket to get into the Taste of the Bayou. Organized Seafood Association of Alabama is going to be in the Bayou there. Going to be serving up the four food groups out of Bottle Battery: crab, shrimp, oysters, fish. There'll be some other restaurants that will be sampling some things as well. The folks at Maze Cafe are going to be serving their bread pudding again. This year, you know, the winners of last week's gumbo cook-off, Dolphin on Gumbo contest. And so you'll be able to sample, you know, it's a celebration of the taste. It's not, you're not going to get 30 different samples of food. It's going to be samples of the best of the Bayou.
Yeah. Last year they had an oyster sampling, didn't they?
And I'm glad you mentioned that. Because Murder Point and Point of Pines will both be there. We'll have the oysters there at any rate.
Those are great.
So that's worth the price of admission right there.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Alabama Coasting Team Alabama is the sponsor of this event. And what I thought about doing it and really recognizing the support you guys give to all of our food stuff, to all the food stuff around. We've been talking local all day. And the biggest difference between the taco takedown and the mullet toss is you get to eat the tacos. So that's good.
I don't think there's a market for tossed mullet, do you?
What do they do with those tossed mullet? They just throw them away?
They throw them to the other state and just leave them.
I have not experienced the mullet toss in person. It's just not something on my radar at this point.
Yeah, I hear you.
But so here's the deal. What I want to do for you guys and for your listeners is there are two types of tickets. A general admission ticket is $10, and that gets you into the sampling and to watch the competition. It also, there's a cash bar, beer and wine, or really inexpensive. And then there's also a VIP ticket, which gets you in at 5 o'clock into a VIP reception where it'll be a little bit more sampling, of different things and some complimentary beverages. You get to meet the World Food Championship chef. And that VIP ticket is $30. Mm-hmm. And so for your readers and to thank you guys for the support you give the local industry, what we'd like to do is between now and noon, anybody who's listening today or any of your readers, if they'll call or text me directly, we'll give them a two-for-one special. Buy one, get one free. You buy one ticket to the general admission, we'll give you two. You buy a ticket to the VIP, we'll give you two VIP passes.
And what's that number?
My number is 251-623-623.
1751.
And I'm telling you, that $10 ticket is the best $10 you'll spend all day. it is just a organized seafood. These folks are, they've been cooking seafood for 100 years, so they know how they're doing it, and it's just a delightful experience.
So they need to call or text you today or
by noon.
Between now?
Between now and noon. This event will sell out. There is only 400 tickets available, and it will sell out.
Yep.
So that's why I can't keep it open beyond just a little bit today.
Okay.
Man, David, that's quite a deal.
Well, it goes back to what you guys are doing and supporting all of the local things that are going on, and just a way for us to try to thank you for that and thank your readers for being food fans.
And, David, I didn't write it down, but what's the times again?
It's Wednesday, May 1st. At the community center in Violet Battery, the event starts at 6 o'clock. Competition will start at 6:15 and go on till about 8:30, 8 o'clock. The VIP reception doors open at 5 for the VIP reception, and then the event will be over by 9 o'clock, 8:30, 9 o'clock.
All right, sounds a good idea. And we went last year and was just a phenomenal evening. It was really just a coming together of the restaurant industry and the seafood industry in the seafood capital of Alabama, Bala Battery. And you were there. Marty Duncan was there last year from Food Network. And it's a fantastic event. And if you can go, I highly urge you to go. And David and his folks are making it a lot easier for you to go. So you got a Wednesday night.
And actually, our good friend Chef Chris Sherrill will be doing the colored commentary this year.
Oh, that should be the competition. That should be colorful.
Yeah.
All right, David, we appreciate you calling in with that information. And folks,
give us the phone number one more time that they can text or call you.
251-623-1751.
All right, David, we appreciate it. Got till noon. Just got till noon. Hurry up.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, David.
Yeah, go ahead and blow up his phone.
Yeah, blow it up. And Mike's going to ask, tell you what, get two of the buy one, get one frees, and you give me and Luann the free one, and then you just sell the other two for regular price.
That sounds normal.
He's going to get that call. Mike did chime in when we were talking about po' boys. He texted in that Chef Carl Haas is the chef at Jack's by the Tracks in Pascagoula. Great chef, so yes, get over there. And David Hubble sent a message for you, Charlie.
Uh-huh.
Next time you're in New Orleans out of the quarter, he said try Brightson's in the Riverbend area.
Brightson's.
Or Brigston's, Brigstons.
Now, I know where the river bends. Is that where the river bend area is?
I'm assuming that's where it is.
Yeah.
I'm
on the other side of the quarter.
Yes.
From Canal.
Sure. Why not? Google it.
Okay.
Be back with one more segment. Folks, 343-0106.
And thanks for the recommendation. We'll check it out.
Thank you, David.
like him. I like fish. I like ice cream. What's this? This is
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
Well, I'll just talk. How about that, Charlie?
I was
going
to say, to heck with it. I pushed all these buttons and nothing was happening.
All right, Charlie. You love your chain restaurants. And, you know, I don't want people to just quit completely going to. In fact, I have said many times.
They have their place.
With as ornery as the after church crowds are in Mobile, and it well documented that the after church crowds in Mobile are the worst crowd you will ever take care of.
Only at Golden Corral.
I am perfectly happy with every locally owned restaurant being closed on Sunday and letting the chains have that money. But I'm going to give you a few chain recommendations. I don't know, it's a hum. I don't know where it came from.
Yeah, where is it coming from?
Oh, is that the bee? It's looking for Mike. The bee is back and looking for Mike.
It's on my microphone.
Oh, well, you're out of here, Charlie. You are out of here. There are a few chain restaurants that I will visit from time to time. And I thought I would recommend one of them to you, Charlie, because it fits one of your main concerns. Budget.
Budget?
Yep. The Cookout, which is the new, it used to be PDQ Chicken over on University.
Yeah, that was the one Todd Schnitt tried to open.
Yeah, and I have heard the college students just raving about, man, you get so much food and it's like $5. And I'm like, well, that can't be good. So I was over there visiting a friend. I said, what the heck, let's try it. Man, that's really good food. And you get a lot of it for $5 gets you a burger, two sides, and a drink. Two sides, Charlie.
It's amazing to me what you sacrifice to research this industry.
And it's, I've got a friend that lives like a couple of blocks from there. So the only time we go is when we're over there. And he's had a car accident recently. So he's walking where he goes. So we kind of drop by and take him there. So he gets to eat someplace that he doesn't have to walk to. Two more that I will give you. And I've spoken about one on here before, is Dickie's Barbecue is surprisingly really good to be a chain. And you know, there are other chains out there, and I only bring up Sonny's because it's also in this area. Sonny's is not bad barbecue, but it's also not ever going to be your first choice because it's just not bad barbecue. Yeah. And in this area, we have lots of great barbecue. When those...
You liked it better in the early days.
Yeah. When those one-hit place, barbecue place, branches out and wants to go national, they're usually going to put their barbecue on interstate exchanges. And barbecue varies so drastically from region to region that what they do is they, for lack of a better term, dumb down their barbecue so that it's just the most basic. There's smoke, there's meat, there's some sauce. But they lose everything that makes them distinctive. Dickie's doesn't do that. It's very good.
Before we go to this phone call, do you think there's any danger that the Fish River Bar and Grill is going to go national?
We will see. We will see.
What's the word, John?
Yay, John, are you about to sign some exclusive rights to franchise the Fish River Bar and Grill?
That or into the Johnny's Smokehouse, a music hall, one of the two. But you were talking about Scrapple.
Okay.
You know, they make that in Robertsdale at Farm Fresh Meats. You've been in there. You should have seen it.
I had my eye on the prime rib.
He wasn't looking for Scrapple.
I wasn't looking for Scrapple. Good. I was looking for prime rib.
They put some maple syrup or something in the Scrapple to sweeten it?
Sure. I don't know. I've never had it.
I didn't taste that.
And maybe that's a Pennsylvania thing that we skipped over. I got a question for you, John.
What's that?
Have you ever had hickory syrup?
No, but I've thrown hickory in the beans while I was cooking them.
Mm-hmm.
If that accounts for anything.
Yeah. They make syrup from hickory, And I am dying to try some. I was hoping you had some sitting on your shelf you could get.
I would think that would be a little bit bitter.
I don't know. Bill, would that be a little bit bitter, the hickory syrup?
Hickory syrup's the most delicious thing in the world.
See, Bill says it's the most delicious thing in the world. I got to order me a bottle.
Unfortunately, we don't have a microphone to give you, Bill.
Charlie broke his.
See that hum?
Yeah.
He's still there.
Yeah. Congratulations.
I'm still there.
No, he's talking about the hum, John.
Oh.
Yeah. But, yeah, okay. So you say go to Robert Steele, go to Farm Fresh, try you some scrapple, huh?
Yes, they have good scrapple. I asked them if it's better than hogshead cheese, which they make there.
Right.
Also, and Chuck said it's better.
Hmm.
It's better. And all their stuff is really good from what I've tasted there.
Yeah. I have been over in that area before and saw them on Facebook going, the pork skins just came out of the fryer, and we immediately went over and got pork skins.
Yeah. Something I'm going to try new today. I don't know if you've ever done this. Have I got a minute to tell you?
Yeah.
Crawfish are coming in. They're coming in out of Greensboro.
Okay.
Biggest crawfish you've ever seen.
Mm.
And I'm going to cook some traditionally with the Zatarain's or Swamp Fire.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to take another batch, small batch, crushed red pepper salt with lime salt, and give it a little different flavor there. You're
okay.
Still going to have the spice from the red pepper.
Right.
But you're going to have a little bit of that lime flavor in there. And I did that with some boiled peanuts.
Mm-hmm.
They were too salty, and I added some lime salt to it, washed them down real good, then re-added lime salt to it and crushed red pepper. Oh, that was different. That was real good.
Chili lime is a great combination.
Oh, yes.
It really is.
It's real good. So I'm figuring, why can't it go good with crawfish?
Why not?
Yeah, I got a nice chest full of them coming.
Man, I wish I didn't have to work today. I'd be over there with you.
Where are you working today?
I'm working at Sim's House of Pizza.
Oh.
Yeah, I help out a few shifts there during the week, and, I absolutely love it, just working with the dough. It's how I started in this industry.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not hired as a sampler?
Nope. I
that could be my job. I can't see or walk hardly anymore, but I can eat.
Yeah. My position is called Pizza Aiello, and it is simply the guy who makes the pizza.
Pizza Aiello.
Yeah.
Hello.
Pizza Aiello.
That's got a different name to it. What kind of twist you got on that?
The nothing. I just sit there and slap dough, man.
That could be the name of a new restaurant.
It's a name of a lot of restaurants in Italy that just serve pizza.
We got to hurry up.
All right, John. It was good hearing from you, buddy, but we got to wrap things up today.
Take care.
Hey, I don't get a provolone?
I just gave you a provolone.
Oh, I missed it. I'm sorry. I talked over it.
And a Baba Ganoush, if that'll help you, too.
All right. Thanks a lot, John.
And a Gouda to you.
All right, folks. It's been fun, except for Mike. It wasn't fun for Mike at all. We have a lot of things going on this week. You got the Taco Takedown today. Wednesday, got Taste of the Bayou. Man, this town's just hopping, isn't it, Charlie?
It certainly is. Get out there and enjoy it.
Yeah.
Don't sit home on a Sunday.
Buy local, be local, spend local, and most of all, provolone.
Provolone.
Make me happy.